That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Prasa. This is the show with two Prasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Raz.
And I'm Jody.
Yo. Wait, what are we doing again?
Recording a podcast.
Joyride.
Good thing we're not going for that today.
Yo, my bro, I'm still waking up. How are you?
I'm wide awake. I've been up since 4:30.
That's weird. Why?
I was watching.
Are you meditating?
Yeah, that I do my meditations every day, 4:30.
Meditations, affirmations.
No, I do the opposite of affirmation. I don't affirm.
You defer.
I do defamations. You're not as good as you think. You suck.
Okay,
just to get me on the level.
Because the meditation brings you up, and yeah. You need to be brought down. See, again. Yeah,
even you are downers.
Yeah,
even druggies know that.
Totally.
How are you?
I don't do that.
Not up since 4:30.
No, up since 8:15.
Nice.
Then I had to go to the bathroom, and then I was like, "Oh, I'm hungry." But then I'm like, "I'm running out of time." And then Jody's here, and I could only make coffee.
Should have brought you food.
Mm-mm.
I had post toasties and
Your age, eh?
And muesli with it.
Post,
but you modern, you know.
Wait, in the post toasties?
Yeah, you mix it up.
Why? Did you ever add like Milo or like cocoa powder to your post toasties?
Alternative milk option, like
no, without things. Like I mean, just the powder, because all we had was the Milo. Wow, Milo was special. But like, if we add something that's chocolatey, like a hot chocolate or something,
yeah.
I would sprinkle that over the
Nestle hot chocolate,
the post toasties, and then slap the milk in. But I'm a cold milk guy. I'm not a warm milk guy.
Yeah, I know. I was actually saying earlier this week to someone how when I was in New Zealand, we did we stayed with families, man. But I was 9 years old, so I wanted my porridge with warm milk. And they looked at me and like, what are you talking about?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
They're like, how warm? I'm like, liquor warm.
Asking your mother, is he special? Why does he want warm milk?
Mom.
This was before Lord of the Rings also.
Way before.
So you couldn't even go on the tour.
No. Totally messed up.
Anyway, at least you've been to New Zealand. Aratoria. No, that's Australia.
No, that is
New Zealand.
I can't quite say it, but I know what you... Aotearoa.
Aotearoa.
I think is what you're trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
I might have butchered that too.
No, he does. He does butcher because his father's a butcher.
Play smart.
On that note, let's get into a clump news.
News and shorts.
Okay, Superman.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing. Like, James Gunn's universe only technically starts in 2025.
No. Blue Beetle?
No.
You mean James Gunn?
Yes.
He's stuff he's doing, yeah.
Yes. 2025.
Yeah.
So even though Blue Beetle is the new hero in that DCU, that's not his movie. He wasn't there when the movie was made.
Yeah, that's right.
So the universe that he's building only starts in 2025. But I feel we've been getting so much fucking news out of the stable and the studio.
Yeah.
In this universe. But I mean, this is one of the biggest stories if you are a fan of DC or comic book movies, because they finally cast the new Superman and Lois Lane.
That's true. And people can say, what? But Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, these characters transcend pop culture.
They pop sending culture.
They pop send everything. So when there's news on them, it's going to be big.
It's going to be big, bitch. Look, the most popular and most profitable superhero is Spider-Man. But iconic and famous, I would say, is Superman.
Definitely.
Yeah. I know. I heard recently that the Superman symbol is the third most identifiable logo in the world.
After Coke
and Mickey Mouse.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. Insane. And that's just
And there's no cocaine in Superman.
No, there's no cocaine in Superman. And you know, and he wasn't created by a racist.
Yeah.
So like Mickey Mouse. So it's like he's super important to a lot of people. Mm. So who did they cast, Jody?
It's David Cotton's Wet and Rachel Brosnahan. Who I don't
I
know.
I love Rachel Brosnahan.
I haven't watched Marvelous.
I love Rachel Brosnahan, and I think this is, I don't even give a shit. This is perfect casting for me.
Yeah.
She is tough. She is smart. She's slim with a beak.
Mm.
It is, she is Lois Lane.
So and, better I mean, than Amy Adams for you. Because I haven't
not,
seen
it's
her.
It's not
so
Amy Adams' fault.
It's not. That was a badly written character.
Yes. But Amy Adams is an amazing actress, and I will see her in anything else any except day.
anything
else yeah, with Amy Adams in it. But yeah, it is a badly written character. And I think with this movie, the character is going to be better. Mm. She's going to have more to do. And she is the perfect person for it because she's everything that you would want Lois Lane to be.
Well, look, your recommendations lately have been on point.
Okay,
I'm so around. I'm gonna stand by what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm excited because you're excited.
Nice, and I know fuck all about David Collins. All I know is he looks like a Superman. I guess.
Yeah, look, a big thing that they were discussing before the time is the age profile because James Gunn was insistent that he wants a younger Superman, which was one of the main factors for why Henry Cavill wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
This guy kind of meets that requirement. He's about 32 years old. They want Superman to be more or less the same age.
Yeah.
Because this Superman is going to be just past these. They're not going to do the intro again.
No. There's no origin story. Yeah. He's going to be existing and saving people already.
Yeah, but he's not going to have journeyed on multiple skips like Henry Cavill's character.
No, I'm grateful for that. We don't need to see Superman's origin story again.
No, or Batman.
No, Spider-Man or fucking, you know.
And you talk about Batman and Spider-Man. In the last two iterations of those characters, we didn't get origin stories.
We didn't. I'm so grateful.
It works.
It works like a motherfucker. So I don't know much about him. He does look a little like Henry Cavill.
There's some resemblance there.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe it's just to keep people comfortable.
But like, Superman does have like an archetype, like a look, right? Henry Cavill did fit that bill. So I guess anyone, if you stay true to the archetype, then anyone's going to resemble Henry Cavill.
But it also
helps with the transition.
It does help with that. But I'm thinking now also Nicholas Holt was the other favorite.
Where are we with those rumors in terms of him doing
Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing official out, but what they were saying is he's either going to be Superman or Lex. So
I would rather him be Lex. Yeah.
Imagine his Lex is an evolution of his Mad Max character.
We're like a silver mouth. I want a genius
billionaire
physical specimen Lex Luthor. I want the Lex Luthor that has pushed himself mentally and physically as far as he can go.
So that wasn't Jesse Eisenberg for you? I think
sure.
Mentally he pushed himself as far over the edges.
Yeah, he pushed himself so far that he defied logic. But that's the Lex that I want. It's like the Lex that is like, even though he is like the best human you could possibly be, he's still inadequate to Superman. Yeah. And that's kind of what drives him. You know what I mean? Like, you don't deserve this.
And I would love also that Lex that is, where most people don't actually find that Lex is the villain. Mm. Where people are like supporting him because he is the pinnacle of
humanity. Yeah, I mean, like Lex, he's president in the comics at one point. So it's like fucking, I heard that that show was pretty good. I started that
Lois
show,
and
but
Clark.
Superman and Lois. No, but it's not like
I quoted the
it's not that Republican
Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher version of
the new one apparently is good.
Shame that guy was also sad that he wasn't invited
to be in the multiverse.
Yeah. Apparently he was
they don't give a fuck. And he's like,
they like him.
They really like him. Yeah. Like the way he portrays Superman. Mm. And it's the closest thing to the actual comic book Superman that we've gotten, I think.
Apparently, that's a big factor as to why you won't be cast.
I think I'm going to get into it.
You're going to get into it?
Yeah.
Isn't that also CW, though?
Yeah, but it's not like CW. Deadpool 3. Yeah, Vijay, this is another one that just sometimes they win these movies that are this like big and popular and stuff, and then news keeps coming out, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to.
It gets overwhelming.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to hear about this fucking movie.
Did you see
his
suit?
Oh, did
you
see
that? Swear.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he can't say this.
You can't swear?
No, I'm just. The thing where he couldn't ad lib because of the strike.
Oh, yeah. But, yo, rumors are coming out. There's rumors that are coming out from like weird sites. Yeah. And then there's this story that's like from.
More legit.
Yeah, yeah. So Jennifer Garner is reprising her Elektra role in Deadpool 3. Why?
Multiverse. Isn't this Deadpool also going to be multiverse hopping? That's why Logan is.
Sure, weird. But it's like.
Why? The question remains.
But if it's a tiny cameo for a gag.
With the Evanescence soundtrack.
Yeah, she has to. Fighting bags of sand.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah. With
that was on a pulley system that was rigged.
Very, very elaborate.
Precisely rigged perfectly with no one else in the room.
The preciseness of the pulley system was reflective of her abilities.
Mm. 100%. So it's like,
woo.
I think if it's for a gag, then I'm for it. But I don't understand why. Yeah.
They're making a big thing of it, though.
So
it feels like a big thing for a gag.
Hugh Jackman. We know he's in this film.
Yeah, he's buffing.
And that is funny in itself. Yeah. It makes sense. It makes sense for the characters.
It's been used for years.
100%. Then they reported also that Channing Tatum is going to be Gambit.
Gambit. I saw that yesterday. I was like, what?
But that, I don't want that to be a gag.
No, that has to be legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be like.
Yeah, because Taylor Kitsch's Gambit from.
Again, also not his fault.
Not his fault, yeah. But there was a time showing his career just.
No, he's one of those guys that were like supposed to be the next best thing, and they force fed him down everyone's throats.
Not and it a did single not, thing worked.
Jai Courtney, mm-hmm. Sam Worthington.
Mm. Your Sam Worthington was in so many things.
Yeah. He's in the fucking highest gross, two of the highest grossing movies of all
Avatar.
Time. But show a picture of him to people and
don't know that.
Yeah. So it's like him, Taylor Kitsch in that bag.
They're all in that same thing.
Generic male white.
Yeah, they're gonna be big.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Although Jai Courtney looks a little ethnic.
Yeah, and he's Australian. You know,
yeah.
So he's got that.
What is the best thing he's done in your opinion?
Die Hard 5. Unquestionably.
And that's it, folks. We're done. Die Hard 5. Foot sank.
John McClane's son in Russia. What could go wrong?
Fuck off. Suicide Squad, wrong? James Gunn.
Yeah, but I was going to say. Second one.
That was probably the best thing he's ever done.
That's the best thing he could have done.
Because it's like Terminator was rubbish.
And Sam Worthington did Terminator as well.
Wow.
You see, even in the same
it's all connected.
It's all connected.
Anyway.
Multiverse.
Channing Tatum joining this film, allegedly.
Ben Affleck also potentially as Daredevil. I heard that before the Jennifer Garner thing came out, actually.
But all this guck, in my opinion, doesn't hold a candle to the latest piece of news that I heard. Hugh Jackman. As Wolverine.
Yeah.
Will be appearing in his yellow suit.
Oh, that happens, dude. Teased. What was that teased in Wolverine?
Yes.
Right?
It was a deleted scene.
Yeah, sorry, a deleted scene.
Yeah,
yes.
they opened the thing and apparently he's going to be in his comic accurate suit.
Yo, that would be amazing.
I mean, it's not a good looking suit.
It's also because he's the wrong profile for Wolverine.
Wolverine is a tiny, tiny short king.
Stocky.
Yeah.
Stocky short
hairy
king.
Hairy short king.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman is a...
Tall and lanky.
Tall, lanky. He's got a theater background.
He can
he loves
dance,
show tunes.
He can dance you off the stage. Doesn't really gel with
Jean Valjean. So that I am excited for, that he's going to be in his comic book. But I hope that's not a gag.
That I feel they'll do for a gag.
Yeah, actually. Maybe. Yeah, because just to show the to show us, yeah. I say show the fans, show us that it doesn't work.
To make a point, yeah, I'm pretty certain that's.
But
the
then
exact
go
vibe.
For the orange man.
The orange.
Yes. So he had two original costumes. He first appeared in the yellow one, and then they switched to the orange one. There's an orange one that's less. It's still the same style, but the colors are different. It's like an orange and a burnt orange, like together. Then they do that one.
Okay, that would work.
Yeah, the yellow with the stripes and the
bright yellow.
Yeah, and the blue
pointy mask. Get it all.
I mean, it's iconic.
Get the ball in there. The pointy mask was like main thing in that deleted scene.
Right? Look, if they get the pointy mask right, then I'll be like impressed.
Yeah,
because. That seems like a feat in itself.
That does.
Jonathan Majors.
Got some updates.
Yeah, a lot of updates actually.
Yeah. Did you see, I don't think it's in this article, but we finally have a Marvel actor that's spoken out about it.
No, I didn't see that.
Anthony Mackie.
What did he say?
He was doing an interview.
He was like, my brother's innocent.
Yeah. Not quite, but not far off also.
Okay.
Just saying innocent till proven guilty. They need to see what comes out and like let him have his day.
Yeah.
Which is still massive in the context of Marvel hasn't said a single thing.
No, but they wouldn't.
About this entire
They like, wouldn't, the entire right? Thing. I mean,
they've done nothing.
It's the same thing with WB and Ezra Miller because they didn't say anything.
They see how they want to see, get the lay of the land.
I mean, you know that behind the scenes they were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
No, stop. But I mean, with Jonathan Majors, it might have been like, okay, let's just take a breath. You deal with this shit. Whatever happens afterwards, we'll see. Obviously, if he's found guilty, they'll fucking cut him. Mm-hmm. And if he is innocent, then they were obviously going to bring him back. So now what evidence has come to light, Jody?
So in this thing, they're talking about the fact that he had his court appearance. He appeared virtually. He wasn't in the courtroom. The victim of the main thing that broke in the news and stuff, not any of the other stuff that has come out subsequently, she had a protection order granted against him, which they didn't contest at the point of like the order being granted because they were like, Jonathan wants nothing to do with her, it's dope. Now they're contesting it because it looks shit for him. And they're like, we need to.
Optics.
The optics of this is not good for us. So they're contesting that now. But then also, and I don't think that was in this particular article, but there is a video that's come out where they break down some of the stuff that was discussed in court, which was kind of hectic because it backs up some of what he's saying and also might confirm like police bias and a few other things with regards to how this whole thing unfolded.
So he did physically appear in court as well now recently.
Okay. Jody. No, I just like I was like Hollywood Reporter. Okay,
so
like the most legit.
He's busy with he's actually got a new girlfriend now.
Oh,
Megan Good.
Oh,
she's an all-star.
Yes, and we've referenced
stunning. So it also helps with the optics that he appears with a black woman. And the woman that is accusing him of the situation is a white woman. So they had video evidence, they had testimony from the driver, they had all of that in favor of Jonathan Majors.
Yeah.
To the point now that the woman was actually arrested.
The one that came out with allegations first. Yeah.
Because he's like laying counter charges and I think there's fucking shit about lying and defamation. I don't know. But according to the court case and what's happening in court, it is heavily in favor of Jonathan Majors based on the evidence now that they have provided.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking on this man's character or anything. I'm just saying this is what was presented in court, and this is what they found.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to, unless they're going to start not attacking his character, but unless they're going to start questioning the integrity of his character in a way that is valid in court, the other allegations aren't really going to be brought into this.
No.
That's going on here.
No, I mean, because that's like workplace gripes, right?
Yeah.
But like with this specific case, it is most likely that he will not be found guilty. I mean, they've got testimonies from people who they were there. Yeah. They've got video evidence.
And the video
which
really
shows that he did not harm her. They also have video of her after the fact. in a club or whatever restaurant with her friends, physically fine.
Right after the incident in the car,
because she had claimed that he had hurt her and she was all, you know, she had hurt her hand, whatever, and she was fine. She was using her hand freely, whatever. Yeah. They have video evidence of that.
Driver of the car also backs up Jonathan's version of. He was like more trying to get away from her, and he's the one that actually got out of the car.
But in the same breath, this is no excuse to be like, "Oh, women, you see how women lie.
You see they're always lying."
Guys, come on, man, come on.
There's still a lot of other claims against this guy, and like you said, it's none of that has been interrogated yet. But there's a lot of stuff that's.
I don't think it will ever be, because this is the one legal case that has been brought to the courts and stuff. So they will deal with this. But the other stuff will get swept under the rug.
Most likely, I think that they're going to probably keep playing it cool in terms of like Marvel and these. I mean, does he have a new PR company yet? Because
I don't know.
Even the optics with all of that was like, it was really weird that everyone kind of looked like they were.
Well, I imagine after this they'll come crawling back.
Yeah. But I think they're gonna. I think there's gonna be a period of just like, let's just wait it out a little bit more.
Because he's got that bodybuilder movie coming out, no?
Is that still going forward? Wasn't that the one that was supposed to?
I think that's also pending the.
Because that one was supposed to air at the film festival, and then they like, we're not doing that now.
I think they're gonna wait for the case.
Yeah, I think what we'll be telling is when. If there are any campaigns that start picking him up again, like ad campaigns and stuff, and where you see there's really like a very blatant narrative shift that happens with these things.
Yeah.
Like with Johnny Depp, where suddenly it's, oh, you know what? Johnny actually looks like he might be the one that's more innocent in this thing. So we're going to start going with him, giving him things again.
Pirates of the Caribbean 7.
You know, Margot's just out of the picture now. If this played out in a way that it backed up what she said and he was guilty of things, Marvel would have been completely screwed from their perspective.
They just make Loki the villain again.
I guess. That's why you bring him back.
Or Thanos again.
Mm.
Multiverse must. Bobby!
Yo.
facing release issues in Asia.
Thankfully, this is not LGBTQI related.
It is not. It is more China related.
Very China related, yes. So the film regulators in the Philippines are threatening to join Vietnam.
Yes. Why did Vietnam ban it?
So Vietnam banned Barbie because there's a map in the background of one shot in this film that references a very contentious version of a map. That seems to indicate support for China. It's an area of the world that China claims to be theirs, but that these regions do not. So it's the Philippines and Vietnam, Taiwan, Malaysia, Brunei. They all are like, no, this is sovereign territory. And China's like, not so sovereign.
Yeah. Not belongs sovereign. Belongs to us. Shut the fuck up.
But this is one shot in the movie.
Yeah. And they finally released a statement now. The Barbie people.
Okay.
And they said that this is a children's drawing of the world map. There was no intention of highlighting this contentious area whatsoever. It was doodles, basically.
And look, there's another side to this, which is if Barbie is going to choose between the money that they make from China.
Yeah. And the money they make from Vietnam.
China's one of the biggest markets in the world.
It's the second. It's the second biggest market for American film. After Nollywood. Yeah. No, for American film.
After Nollywood.
Is that
Nigeria's the first.
For American film. Not a chance, my friend. For Nigerian film, though, Nollywood is, you know. But that's why Bollywood doesn't count as well, because they consume their own stuff in their own...
self-sustaining.
Exactly. But for American films, China's the second biggest market. So you can't
mess with it.
No, you can't.
And that's why it's always an issue where when films get banned in China, for one, you don't always know why.
Yeah.
Because China just gets pissed on everything. But if you have to cut out that market and not have access to that money, screw yourself over.
Yeah, your worldwide box office is fucked.
I just kept thinking to myself, why not just not have the shot at all? Instead of having this whole thing now, we have to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, just don't have it in there. Because I think that's the compromise. We don't know the
context of the...
We don't know yet.
We don't know the context of the scene. And they can fix it in post.
Apparently, the censors in Vietnam were like, if you just take it out, we'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
So just take it out in
Yeah, but then country. They take it out. And then China's be like...
You still... Yeah.
What the fuck? Why'd you take it out?
Exactly.
You know what? Banned in China.
You're not going to come here. You made your choice.
Ooh, summer blockbuster bomb season.
Well, apparently it's called a flopbuster.
Is that... Oh, summer flopbuster. Is this...
I don't think you should bother trademarking.
Is that. This because of the writer's strike that they did? This is the best...
This is the best they come up with now.
Anyway, so summer for movies is usually this time. Our winter box office. US. Yeah, US summer. So... All the tentpoles, the big films, the event films, the box office blockbusters, they come out in this season. So it used to be shorter.
Yeah.
Because it was just June, July.
June, July period. Yeah. Now it's like
now it August, starts basically. In April. Yeah. Yeah. And it ends in like fucking August or whatever. Yeah. But the problem is, Jody, in general, you know that movies is very expensive.
Very expensive. And it's not the making of a movie is expensive.
Right? Making of a movie is expensive, but also the going marketing. To the fucking movies is expensive for the us. Customer.
Yeah. But also marketing a film.
Marketing a film
is a shitload of money.
So it's like, okay, there's a lot of money being spent and the investors want return on investment.
Yes.
But the problem is you also have to make a good film.
Yeah. It helps.
Yeah. Well, it really helps. There's a couple things that help. Mm-hmm. Making a good film.
Not having a star embroiled in...
In criminal...
cases.
You know, and...
Not having an 80-year-old lead in an action film.
Yeah, but that also might fall under making a good film.
True.
We haven't seen it yet. Mm. So The Flash was the first one to kind of... I mean, we knew DC was... DC has a history of bombs, right?
Yes.
They should have actually joined like World War II since they had so much bombs.
Yeah.
But they...
Stop that war.
They had a lot of bombs, but then... You know, they were hyping The Flash up to be the fucking next great superhero.
That
movie.
Was their problem,
yeah.
I think.
Exactly.
It was such a bad marketing campaign. The fact that they went forward with this, it's the best superhero movie ever. You had people saying things that were so blatantly not true.
Yeah.
Even the reviews that were middling and reviews that were like, you know what, this movie's fine.
Yeah.
Go against what you've then said before.
Yeah.
Couple that with the fact that people didn't know where they stand on the Ezra Miller thing as well.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm glad this kind of bombed. I'm not glad, but I'm like, okay, people didn't want to watch this movie, I think because of Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
And then the word of mouth spread about the CGI and whatever, and people weren't going to, I mean, I enjoyed it personally.
Dude,
but
that doubling down on the CGI.
That was also dumb as fuck.
Nah, man.
But that was one that bombed.
Nolan-esque in that stupidity.
Esque. Amusa-esque. So then also you have like Disney Pixar, which usually, does really, really well.
Guaranteed money.
They bombing. Elemental bombed.
Yeah.
There's other animated films that also bombed.
Yeah. I think I told you like Elemental was tracking badly.
Yeah.
And Disney seemed to make a decision about that one early because I saw no... Mm-mm. Marketing for that movie.
No, me neither. Nothing. I mean, I only saw a trailer in cinema.
Yeah.
And then you have Indiana Jones, which is one of the biggest franchises of all time. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, The Flash only made $100 million last week. And then
The Flash was tracking worse than Black Adam and Shazam.
Yeah.
If you just beat that, you know, then you're doing okay.
Yeah, but my bro. So now you have Indiana Jones, which is like a $300 million movie.
Insane.
Made like what, 60 mil in the first fucking opening weekend or something.
Yeah, these things are going to go to streaming quick fast.
100%.
I mean, even on VOD, how much money do you think they're going to make there? Like,
not as much.
Maybe there's a novelty factor. Maybe that's why these bad movies are going to VOD so early, because there's that novelty of like, I want to see how bad this is.
Sure.
You know?
But I mean, now...
Fast X was like, what, 3 weeks at the cinema?
Yeah. But now, I mean, you reduce the amount of people who have to buy tickets, right? Because if it's on VOD, you can just invite friends and one person pays it.
Exactly.
And it's like $25 or something.
Exactly.
So they do lose money, but make better films. And also, I think one of the issues is that they're releasing too many blockbusters in one fucking season.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reason is for this, because it used to be that...
Well, it's greed.
Everyone... Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But people used to be smarter about it, man. Like, they would... They'd figure out well in advance, look, if I know that these five movies are going to be out during that time of year, then I'm not going to put my film out that year, because... I'm not going to make the money that I need to break even with this or to make a profit with this. These films are releasing like every week. There's
every
a new
week
tentpole coming
you
out.
You cannot afford to go to the movies every week.
Who can afford that?
It's impossible.
Did you hear about Tom Cruise's beef with IMAX?
No, what?
Tom Cruise is pissed because Oppenheimer's coming out and IMAX and Christopher Nolan have an exclusivity deal because he shoots with their cameras and all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
So whatever he makes, they will prioritize for IMAX cinemas. It's in the agreement. And Tom Cruise is like, but my movie is a fucking huge blockbuster film that's also made for IMAX. And they told him, you can have like 2 weeks or something. And then Oppenheimer's coming out and you're getting kicked off of all IMAX screens.
My God.
But he's part of the marketing campaign for Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah, they asked him, like, what are you going to see first? I think, and he said he's in a, he's probably going to see Oppenheimer first before he sees Barbie.
But it's a big, like, it's shots of him at the cinema with tickets and things.
Fuck, man. Christopher Nolan. Because I would honestly rather see Mission Impossible in IMAX than Oppenheimer.
I want to see that explosion, though. I want to see that explosion. But the rest of Oppenheimer, in my mind, doesn't lend itself to IMAX.
Also, is Oppenheimer like a summer blockbuster?
Apparently. It's a Nolan film.
What the fuck does that mean?
That's why. By his name, he gets
it's
access to that
It's an historical drama.
Just by his name. That's what you
fucked
get.
Fucked up. Anyway, the studios have to make a decision and they have to change. I think they need to reduce the amount of blockbusters that they release per season.
Market is saturated, bro.
They have to make proper choices. And I think they need to also, throughout the rest of the year, go back to like mid-budget films.
Yeah. Franchises like John Wick have also showed that the traditional summer blockbuster season isn't the only time you can make money.
Yeah.
Because Across the Spider-Verse is kicking the ass of all of these movies still at this point in time, right? Like destroying them.
But it's a great film.
Yeah, it's a great film, but it came out fairly early in the blockbuster season as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to tie yourself to that.
No.
Especially with these movies.
Man, this Owens, are they old, man?
Shame.
Did you see that article? Did you read that article about him?
No.
That was removed.
Oh, wait. I did hear about this. And then the guy that wrote the article is producing...
No. The editor.
Oh, he's... Yeah.
The editor at GQ, he is producing a film with Warner Brothers. And so Zaslav called in a favor and told him to remove... Remove the fucking article.
Oi, bucko.
Because it was criticizing him. But I mean, he's the biggest villain in Hollywood right now.
He really is. Eh?
I don't know what he's doing, man, bro. He's killing creativity.
But why not? I'm a CEO billionaire.
For Dana White, slap league. What is that?
Did you see that joke? They're going to make a game. They're in the final stages of making a game for Slap League. And this brother's like, just bought my controller. There's nothing else. It's just the X.
Alan Arkin is dead at 89. Jesus.
Yeah, he lived a good life, eh?
Fuck it. Look, he was one of my favorite character actors, actually. He's
so good.
Whenever he popped up in a film, it was like, oh. This guy, I know him.
And he's, you know, great. What you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, like, the level of quality that he's going to bring to it.
Yeah. But my favorite would probably also be Little Miss Sunshine, I think.
I think most.
The rebel grandpa that he plays there.
Most people's favorite, I think, is going to be that character. But lately, also The Kaminsky Method.
I didn't watch that.
I mean, it's doing really well.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I didn't say it's really good. Okay. I said it's doing really well.
Well, not anymore. He's dead.
Can you just go back to being asleep? Because I much prefer tired you.
I can be tired again.
This wakey you.
I can be tired easy. So yeah, I mean, it's sad, but I mean, 89.
It's a good age. Did you see he was married to his first wife for like 20 odd?
To his first wife?
Yeah. He was married 3 times.
Okay.
But the first wife was like 20 odd years or something. Like, good solid marriage, and then fucking she died and got married.
Oh my word, he outlived her.
Yeah.
They didn't get divorced.
No.
Did he
in outlive, Hollywood.
Did he outlive all three?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the age of his last wife, but I don't think so.
Well, I hope they were age appropriate.
I hope so.
R.I.P. Alan Arkin.
Came from a funny time.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing Joyride, directed by Adele Lim. When Audrey's business trip to Asia goes sideways, she enlists the help of Lolo, her childhood best friend, Kat, a college friend, and Deadeye, Lolo's eccentric cousin. The epic no-holds-barred experience becomes a journey of bonding, friendship, belonging, and wild debauchery that reveals the universal truth of what it means to know and love who you are. This film has an awesome cast. We've got Ashley Park, Sherry Kohler, Stephanie Su, Sabrina Wu, Ronnie Cheng, Meredith Hagner. No, I don't like any of them. Daniel Day Kim.
Wow.
Is that a spoiler?
That is a little.
Not really. This film.
It's a little spoiler because he's an all-star in PS fans.
That's true. Let's end there before I spoil anything else. Ashley Park is our protagonist in this film.
Yes. That's and I don't know where she's from prior to this.
Yeah, but I've a face.
No, I've seen her. Like, I just don't know what she was in.
Yeah.
But if she hasn't been in anything major, this is definitely a breakout for her, yeah, I think.
She's incredible in this role. I mean, the cast is just amazing.
Amazing.
She's done a lot of theater work, actually.
She was in Mean Girls.
No, the musical.
Oh.
That's what I was saying. It's actually all theater stuff that she was doing.
Was she in Beef?
The Biggie and Dennis's documentary. Was she in Beef, actually? Where did you see Beef?
Yeah, when you Google her name.
That's where we know her from. She's, what's her name's, the one that's in the unhappy marriage in Beef.
Oh, yes. That okay. One.
Who marries the artist.
Yes, yes.
Spoilers,
yes.
Sorry.
So she actually got this role because of Daniel.
Ah.
So the director knew Daniel.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Because I think she had asked him prior. Because it seems like from interviews and stuff, there was a lot of like favors. Because they were like, can you do this film? Especially with the men, because they just contacted the men and they're like, look, we need you to be hot. We need you to be topless.
Can you just be?
You're not going to be get a lot of money.
Yeah.
But come and do this. And they were like, yeah, okay, cool. And then she was looking for casting the main. Or they were casting the main characters, and then Daniel said, look, he saw this woman, and she's amazing. And then they had like a Zoom meeting, and then she was like, yeah, she's Audrey.
That's
first chance.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Okay, story-wise, before we go into anything else.
We've seen similar things before, but it's so refreshing to see like a cultural take on this from an Asian perspective. I think that's what makes it so fresh. Yeah, it's a immigrant story. It's you're searching for yourself in a country that doesn't necessarily view you as one of them, even though you were born there. It's like there's a lot of things that come through in this movie that is quite refreshing in this type of road trip comedy genre.
Yeah, and I think maybe we should also right from the start say this film is going to be compared to things like Bridesmaids purely because it's an all-female-led comedy.
All-led females. They're just females made of lead.
You know. Really dense.
Yeah, maybe. That's why Superman comes.
It's really soft metal. Yeah. I don't think that actually does this movie any favors because it's a different thing.
Yeah.
It's its own thing that's completely different.
Yeah. It's and not white women.
No. So, Audrey, our protagonist, she was adopted at a young age. She's only known America as like her life. And because of things that happen while she's growing up, she decides she's going to be the best at everything that she does.
Yeah.
Ends up in the corporate world and then gets this assignment to go to China to close a deal. And that kind of frames our story, but also the story is so much more than just that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a road trip movie because of that.
Yeah.
It's a road trip movie because of all the other fun stuff that goes
exactly
on,
and the other fun characters that get involved. So
her best friend.
Yeah, I mean, look, even that in itself, right? Her wanting to prove herself to be the best. There's a lot of second generation people that come from like immigrants and stuff that have the same situation.
Yeah. Beef they show have that. To. Beef yeah. show does that.
And they get pressure from their parents and stuff. So it was unique to her because she was adopted into a white family. Yeah. And what drove her was not fitting in and being seen as a foreigner or, you know.
Yeah, that, you know, that scene in school where that lighty.
Look, I'm going to repeat what he said, but it's in the form and it's in the trailer as well, the Red Band trailer. And he calls her Ching Chong. And I didn't expect it to hit me so.
Hey bro, you know what gets me? The fucking teacher that's just laughing at the back. He's just chilling.
Yeah.
Just like he was being the most douchebaggy racist. No, but
it's like a fucking. It's like, yeah, you can't play a Ching Chong. And that Ching Chong hit me in the. I was like, yo, this is fucked up. That one, I didn't even notice the fucking teacher in the back.
That bruh pissed me off so much. Just the white middle-aged man living his best life while this little girl has to deal with racism.
Yeah. So they become best friends because they're the only two Asians in the town. And the one who is played by Sherry Cola, her name is
Lola.
Lola. She is a free-spirited artist, but funny.
Strong-willed, like very, like she's the protective one. And Audrey's the one that's a bit more timid.
Yeah, I mean, Audrey's like the straight-laced head girl type vibe, and she's the loose cannon protective friend who's fun, essentially. Yes. She lives on Audrey's property.
Yeah. Garage/separate entrance vibes.
While she, you know, pursues her art career, and Audrey's like on her way to become a super successful attorney. Mm. So they've obviously gone different paths. Mm. And I knew that was going to come into play.
Different later career paths, but they're still in each other's lives.
They're still in each other's lives. Lola's parents have a restaurant and she displays her art. Or she tries to display her art.
Stop bringing this around.
Art is like made of, there's a lot of genitalia involved in her art, but the purpose of her art is to destigmatize like sexual repression or whatever. And
which is referenced in that Red the cast interview trailer thing that we put out actually, where they spoke about that over-sexualization of Asian bodies, women, Asian women in particular, and how they were. This is a film where they want to take that back and they want to like reclaim that. And
it was one of the, that's true, actually. It was one of the purposes of the film. And I did get that actually. So she has to embark on this journey. I don't want to talk about the story too long, but then without spoilers.
Well, we can talk about who else is introduced cast-wise. We've got
Deadeye.
If you're thinking of these ensembles now, it's the Melissa McCarthy character from Bridesmaids, if you now want to draw a
comparison. Yeah.
It's a Deadeye fills that type of role.
Yeah.
But also for me was so much more than that when the character gets fleshed out a bit.
Yes. And we do see that later in the film, which I was grateful for. Mm. Like she's a kooky one. She's an outcast. She doesn't quite fit in even in her own family.
In the film there's a line right at the end where they say for Deadeye, which I thought was really cool.
So I think because but in that real actress life is
non-binary I don't know. I've just seen some of their stand-up, so I'm not quite sure.
Yes, they are non-binary because they refer to as they.
Is that Sabrina?
Sabrina Wu.
Yeah.
Amazing addition. Yeah, they are so good. Funny.
So good.
Why do they call you Deadeye?
Yeah, and I mean, the person asking that question, our favorite from Everything Everywhere.
It's Stephanie Sue. She also shines in this film. I think she's the classy actress one who's trying to create a new future for herself, but her past is filled with debauchery, and she's trying to hide it from a new Jesus-loving husband.
Yeah, and she's also... she's Audrey's,
fiancé, sorry.
Yeah, she's Audrey's other best
college friend. College best friend.
Yeah, college best friend, so... There's that whole competitive thing that happens between Lola and Kat's characters kind of competing for Audrey. There's elements of this that does reference Bridesmaids. So I can see the comparisons there. But that ensemble, the stuff that they get up to and the way that they play off of each other, I don't know. They spent a lot of time together, but it feels like...
No, apparently they all hit it off from the jump. After everyone was cast, they had Sherry Cola bring everyone together.
Not Vanilla Coke.
No. I was not a fan.
Me neither.
You know, I was like, what is this? And that, leave it for the Americans. Mm. So Sherry Cola was the one who brought them all together and sort of facilitated them getting together. And then they all like hit it off from
it
the
feels jump. Like she would be that one.
Exactly. Like
because of her character. Character.
The interesting thing is that the two writers.
Oh, the ones that were also in that trailer.
Yeah. You spoke to them.
Yeah, can't remember their name now, but yeah, obviously. I did talk to them.
Yeah, the two writers and the director, they would meet every Thursday.
Ah.
And they would just like talk shit and hash out ideas. And because that's how they did
that
it
was,
in real life.
Teresa Siao and Cherry Cheva Prava Dumrong. So it was Cherry and Teresa and Adal that wrote the film.
Cool. I don't know what you said before.
Very long surname.
Okay.
For Cherry.
So then they would meet every like week and they would hash these ideas out and sort of go tatty with it and push the envelope and stuff. And they're like, no studio is going to make this, but we really want them to and whatever. And then they went to Lionsgate and they said that Lionsgate was like, yeah, this is dope. They thought they were going to get like pushback. And they're like, no, you can even push it further. Like you can take it. Yeah.
Good on them.
Aware. So they called in a lot of favors. They wrote this crazy movie. And I think a lot of the experience came through growing up from, you know, into this movie and whatever. So casting was like specifically quite important in getting all those characters right. So I it's amazing that it's a Asian female story created by Asian females starring Asian females.
Yeah.
Just mooring it.
Yeah. It's, you can't,
we
you
haven't
can't
seen something
that.
Like
you
this.
You can't buy that authenticity.
No.
Like oftentimes it's a movie about whichever group, but it's produced by people who do not know that group.
Oh, wait.
And you're like, okay, cool, but it doesn't feel...
You can feel when it's written by a white man, for instance. But performance-wise, what do you think?
I don't feel like they were duds for me with the cast. In terms of a favorite, I don't know.
Yeah, favorite is rough, eh?
Because everyone brings something to this. Like everyone, they all serve a purpose. Their characters are not stereotypes.
No.
Kind of movie stereotypes. There's the successful one.
Yeah.
There's the hardworking one. There's the one that's like the artist who's laid back. And there's a weird one.
Mm.
But they are much more than all of that too.
Yeah.
Which we see. Like in how the characters are portrayed.
Yo, I can't think of a favorite either, actually. Now that you mentioned that.
Mm.
I mean, Deadeye does. So Deadeye's moments are good. But also, like, there's moments with Stephanie Sue that are... and the things they say to each other.
Which sounds like the conversations there just sound so legit. Like, these are friends talking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people who... They understand the references they are making to each other as well.
Yeah. Another thing that is quite important in the film is Audrey's search. First, a reluctance, but then search for her birth mother.
Mm. We find out she has this picture of her mother that she never told her friend about. And they like tell each other everything.
Lola pushes her to actually try and find her birth mother. She's reluctant in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think she's coming from a good place. But Audrey obviously wants to move on with her life and be an American.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't speak the language.
She doesn't speak the language. And that fish out of water thing is played up quite a lot.
Yeah, they call her, like they all call, make fun of her for being too white.
Yeah, and she doesn't understand any of the references. She doesn't get the cultural expectations also.
I mean, they get to China and she's like, yeah, you guys have to watch your bags. And
yeah.
China's like the safest place ever.
Which does lead into one of the most hilarious scenes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a scene in the trailer with a white girl in the train.
Who she? Audrey just implicitly trusts.
Yeah, implicitly trusts. Because she's American, she's blonde, and they're like, this chick is super fucking sus, man. What if? And she's like, what do you mean? She's so sweet.
Yo.
I thought that was cock funny.
We're all drug dealers.
You're all drug dealers now, bitches. Without giving too much away from the story, there's quite a bit of heart in there.
Which hit
a lot of people hard.
That was probably the common theme, is that none of us expected that. Because it felt like you had a straightforward story. She's going to go to China. She's going to find out who she is.
Yeah.
But the finding out who she is actually the main part of this.
Yeah.
And the way that plays out is like, there's some emotional stuff that happens there. I think we all had a chunk.
Yes, that was, one scene, I definitely came close.
It's a pivot, but yeah. It was a really, really good one.
Yeah, it was.
One that I think served the story best.
Another thing that I was grateful for is that, I mean, we looked at a lot of the marketing and stuff, and I thought that the trailers would give away a lot.
And thankfully.
They did not. Thankfully. There's so much more that happens. There's so much, like, emotional beats that happen that's not spoiled in the trailer. There's a lot of shock factor stuff that happens that's not spoiled in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I was grateful for that. That
we all suspected they might have put the biggest shock stuff in the trailer to get us there. But actually, there's so much more.
There's so much more. Yes. Deadeye's thing with her not being having any friends.
Lots of online friends.
Online friends, but they're not really friends. Stephanie Hsu trying to be something that she's not. Mm. And then I keep saying Jojo.
Lolo.
Like, just not being responsible enough and sort of living in a dream world. Mm-hmm. And then Audrey, who's so uptight and wound up, who's like pursuing this thing that she might not even want to be.
She doesn't even know if it's what she wants in life.
Exactly. So all of them have their different adversities and struggles and shit that they're going through. And look, Audrey's the star.
But you can see everyone's growth and all of their arcs actually play off in a satisfactory way.
Yeah, exactly.
That, I think, is the thing you don't normally get in these ensemble films, is that there's always clearly a protagonist who gets the main storyline. Mm. And then the other characters are just there to serve that. Yeah. Yes, in this, yes, Audrey's story is the main thing we're following, but every character's development and arc is actually seen to fulfillment as well.
Yeah.
All of them get the satisfactory ending.
Like, yeah, the and then the men are basically just eye candy.
They're just there. Yeah. They're literally just there.
It's amazing. They just eye candy and fucking like sex objects, which I thought was funny.
Best voicemail ever. Yeah.
And then he's like, "Hi, this is Clarence. Jesus loves you."
Yeah, his character is called Cat Celibate Fiance.
Yeah, they start kissing when you meet Cat, and then they kiss and stuff, and he's like, "Oh, leave some room for Jesus." Any intimate moment they have is a menage a trois, apparently, because you need room for Jesus. Oh, fuck. Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah, let's get into spoilers. I think it's quite obvious. Is this quiet night? Is this quiet night?
This is a quiet for me.
It's so quiet.
It's so funny, so refreshing, and so shocking. Then I mean, I've seen so much shit that I didn't think I could be shocked again, but it was a good shock.
Yeah.
But yeah, quiet for you?
Quiet for me.
Okay. Kat has a vagina tattoo.
Yeah, El Diablo. Yo.
Oh my God. That hits hard. So that's what I love, man. It was the payoff. Because it's hinted at in the beginning, and Audrey shares it with Lolo. Mm. Then she says, you know, she has a vagina tattoo. And Lolo keeps asking, where is it?
Right, then she's like, okay, we're done talking about
this. Yeah, I'm just stop talking about it. And it's like a solid 10 minutes that she's just asking questions about the tattoo. And then during they're trying to get onto a private jet, and they have the scene where they act as a K-pop group.
Band, yeah.
What is their names?
Oh, I can't remember.
Something Lisa and Lisa 2.
Yeah, it's Lisa 2.
And they do this whole dance thing, and Kat's skirt gets caught and like under the choreography, and her and it's pulled down, and she is naked from at the bottom.
Just Carl, and she doesn't know.
We get a massive full frontal shot of the actual tattoo on the vagina. It is a demon.
She cannot get it off.
No, she can't get it off. She said she tried everything.
It goes inside.
Yeah. And they show inside. And you see the horns going in.
Yeah, so Kat's backstory. She slept with everyone.
She
in
did
college.
What she wanted yeah. with who she wanted. And the Jonas Brothers were involved at one point.
Except for
Eiffel Towering, apparently.
Yeah, but it was just one that didn't make
I don't know the Jonas Brothers.
Me neither.
But anyway, she was just sexually free in the past, and now she's with this born again Christian, and she's like presenting herself as not that.
Yeah, celibacy is very high on the priority list, and she's struggling.
Yeah. So struggling. Another spoiler is that Audrey, when she does eventually find out where she comes from, she's not even Chinese. She's Korean.
Yeah, look, there's some seeds planted for
that, actually. Oh, my God, that scene. They go to Lolo's family in China, and they embrace her, and they love her.
They love Audrey.
Like, it's that whole family. I mean, it makes you want to, like, love with a Chinese family, right? And then the grandfather makes a remark that her face is so round and big.
Because she's American.
Yes.
Because she's been in America.
Yeah. You've been in America so long, her face is round and big. And then eventually they do go and they find out what happened to her mother and whatever. Mm. And
her mother had snuck into China.
Yeah, from Korea.
To have her be adopted.
Yeah, because she was super young and they wanted to do it. Incognito. Yeah.
It's like when your cousin used to go live on the farm for a while, man, and then they come back after visiting family.
Oh, is that not rehab?
No, it could be rehab too.
Okay.
But it's also when they had a lighty junk.
So then they find out that she's actually Korean.
Yeah.
And the moment that the family, Lolo's family, finds out that she's Korean, they turn on her like
immediate. Like, that explains the round face.
Take my dress off. I didn't see that coming. Yeah. I thought that was really fucking dope.
It was such a hard shift. But again, it's like, we thought the story is just going to be, she has to go on this journey through China, find her family.
Yeah.
And then that's the arc, right?
Yeah.
And then we have this that comes in, that actually she's not Chinese. She's been struggling with her identity her whole life. The only anchor that she had is that she knew her parents adopted her from China. So that's why she thought she's Chinese.
Yeah.
So even with all of her struggles, she still had that at least. And then that gets yanked out from her.
So now it's like, Korean? Fuck. What do I do now?
Yeah.
She eventually does. I mean, you know, the third act, they have falling out. All of them have a falling out.
She also tells her job.
Yeah,
fuck you.
She gets fired, and they all go their separate ways. And she decides to go and visit anyway, and track down her mother's grave because she finds out the mother had passed away. Mm. And then she finds the man who her mother married eventually, which is not her father, Daniel Dae Kim, Asian all star. I first thought he looked too young to be.
But Daniel Dae Kim's been around.
He has been around. He's old.
He looked the same age in Lost.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lost is from.
But it also made sense because her mother had her super young.
Yes.
So, and then, you know, she gets some closure. Her mother actually recorded a video for her if she ever sought her out.
All the feels.
It was so beautiful, that moment. And it was nice for her to finally find out that even though she doesn't know this woman, she was still loved and
thought of.
Exactly.
I'm getting thinking about this whole thing.
Cold,
it's the heartstrings of being tugged.
So it's like, that was such a lovely moment. And then she gets to sort of feel complete in a way.
Yeah. And that then helps her to decide what she wants to do with her life.
Yeah.
You know, which is not just prove herself to all of these, like, not just Americans, but to men also.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of her life was shaped around, she was in a corporate environment where it's like highly competitive, male dominated, constantly having to prove herself to these men as competent and good at what she does.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't need that in my life.
No.
But this closure is what gives her that certainty.
Yeah.
And also the fact that she finds out her friends were kind of involved with why Daniel Dae Kim pitched up there. Because they called him to let him know that she is...
Because they're kid. Friends, man. And friends. Yeah, friends. And Deadeye just wants friends.
Yo, and Deadeye's whole arc as well, eh? They have that thing of, I know that they're just online. And I don't have real friends. And then their bra pitches up at the fucking airport.
With fans.
With fans.
But also, even the family dynamic with Deadeye, right? Like, they don't necessarily fit in with the family.
Yeah, Deadeye is so different.
And the mother comes and she's like, oh, yeah, your hair is getting long. You must cut that. And then she goes to looks at Deadeye and she's like, oh, Deadeye, your hair is short. You must grow it.
Yo, Deadeye also has one of my lol moments in this movie.
Oh my word, there are a lot. The chicken. Oh fuck. After the fucking the jet plan fails, and then they say, oh, is there another way? And they have to take this train, but it's a fucking not a passenger train. It's a cargo train.
And they are in the compartment with the animals.
And then Audrey says, like, oh, this chicken was irritating her.
Chicken just jumps again.
And Deadeye just takes the chicken and turns around and
but off, like, on the screen.
He just breaks the chicken. And he's like, did you just kill that chicken? And she's like, no. Oh, my puss, that was kind of funny.
I actually can't wait to watch this movie again.
No, yeah. Really. I mean, there's also like Lolo has been chatting with this basketball player, and when the two of them talk, man, about the sounds, that was kind of funny. Yeah.
It's just the whole scene.
Like, they're making all the sounds. Like 30 seconds of them just making sounds.
And that guy's an actual former player.
Yeah, he is. And then there's another scene where she says, yeah, you have to go teeth out on it. And you're like, what is she referring to? And she makes this with her mouth. And then, because you have to go teeth out because when you cover your teeth, like, oh, that's so tiny. You can't take a whole dick in your mouth. Oh man.
Yo, there's so many.
Yeah, there's some good so fucking lols. I would say fucking go watch it, man. It's been a while since we had like an R-rated comedy, female lady especially, that made me laugh so hard and hit the emotional beat so like
and we got to see a screening and we got to take some brasso with us. Yeah, and like that vibe of just that whole cinema was having the fucking time of their lives on this loop.
When we walked out in the cinema, there were two old white women.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They might have felt attacked.
Yeah.
I don't
know. No, because it is. I mean, they make fun of white people a lot in this film.
And did you see that there's some critic who actually said white people are being attacked by this movie? And Adele Lum says she's going to get that printed on the t-shirt for the marketing campaign.
Look, that's going to make more people watch it, in my opinion.
That is. And that guy, like, works for some, like, shitty little newspaper or something. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, anyway. But, yeah, what do you say? I say super quiet. Fucking go watch it if you got the chance.
Go see it at the cinema. Take your friends with it. It's such a liquor time.
Yeah, it's a liquor time to also laugh with a lot of people around you and stuff.
Yes.
I laughed at random things. Abby also laughed at random things. Mm.
There's something for everyone with this movie. Really, honestly, like, some of the stuff gets so debaucherous.
Yeah, but think, like, if you've got a friend who is quite conservative and timid,
take that person with you.
Take that person with you.
That's the one to take with.
Yeah. And just watch them. Yeah.
Just watch them score.
Shout outs, Jody.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out all the people that came to join us that night.
That's right.
We had Jamie. You got to meet Jamie for the first
time. Yeah, Jamie Felton.
Yeah, we had...
She's your sister.
That's my sister.
It's crazy.
After all of the comments on our Instagram page.
Irritating.
So irritating.
No, but it was nice to meet her in person. She's less irritating in person.
No.
Yeah.
Bitchy.
Slightly. Yeah, we had Nabila come through.
We had Nabila and her friend Renee. Yasin and Naima.
And his wife.
And Naima was there as well. So we had like a liquor group of people with us.
Yeah, it was a vibe. And they just happen to be people of color. But I think people of color, even though this is an Asian-led film, I think people of color can resonate on a different level with
this. There's a lot that resonates, yeah.
Yeah.
Just that thing of non-whiteness.
Yeah. Nah, it's a liquor time. Yeah, shout out to everyone who came through. Shout out to Empire Entertainment for the screening. It was a fucking vibe, man.
Yeah, go see it at the movies.
Stay safe, everyone. Go watch Joyride. It's safe, Jody.
Where can they find us, Ross?
Where can they find us, Ross?
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Bicycle Browser Podcast. And you can write to us, bicyclebrowser@gmail.com.
Enjoy your life. Goodbye.
Bye.